Simple Steps, a podcast for growth group leaders, giving you simple steps to grow as a leader. Well, g'day growth group leaders. My name's Todd. It's 12:01 PM on a Thursday. Ben, what did you do this morning?
Hey, Todd. I took my dog down to the beach. My dog loves jumping on other people's dogs and other people. So I chased my dog around the beach.
Other people and other dogs love it also.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Win-win.
Bit of a mix.
We're here today to talk about budding groups and sending members.
Yeah.
Now, you might want to quickly tell us what budding groups means and then tell us who this episode's for.
Yeah, great. So, budding a group is when one group becomes two groups. Some people call it splitting a group, but budding is really positive language. It's like a healthy tree, growing buds on it, starting new plants, new life. So, budding a group is when one group becomes two groups, and there we'll talk about a bunch of different ways that can happen.
Good. And who's it for? Who's this episode for?
This episode is not just for you if you're budding a group, but the things that help groups to bud well are actually things that help groups to be healthy groups in general. So, anyone who's leading, whether you've just been part of a bud or you're about to bud or you've been going with one group for 10 years, the stuff we're going to talk about will help you to help your people mature and love their time together in their groups as well.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good.
And we're also going to talk about sending members, Todd. What's that?
Yeah, sending members. So, less of the bud where it's more like two groups become one and more. There's someone in our group that could really be of benefit elsewhere, somewhere else in the growth group space, in church. Maybe it's a assistant leader. Maybe it's a leader in training. Maybe it's just a person who's good vibes and there's a group out there that needs some good vibes.
Yeah,
nice. So, we're going to talk about, why might we send them? Yeah.
Yeah, great. Now, Todd, budding groups and sending members, they're actually hard things to do. Mm. Not just that they're tricky, but they're hard for us. Why? What are some of the reasons it's hard to do these things?
Yeah. Well, if you've done a good job of as a growth group leader, and what I mean by that is you've gotten people together, you've built relational connections around God's word, you understand each other, you feel safe in that space, you can share, especially when we think about prayer, like having prayer groups and partners, shared life, all of that are very valuable and very good connections. And so, when you think about, for lack of a better word, breaking apart those connections, that's painful. And so, they're all good things. They're all good things. And so, it's a real sacrifice to actually give up some of those goods and some of those comforts for the sake of something else.
Yeah.
Have you got any thoughts?
Yeah, it's also, as a leader, you grow over time in your concern for the spiritual health of the people in your group.
Mm.
So, we have that general concern for everyone, but the closer you are to someone, the more you feel that responsibility, and you also realize good ways to help them. You learn that over time. And so, just like we're pretty wary before we hand our kids over to someone else to look after them, these people in our group that we care for, we don't want to just dump and run. We actually are giving up a bit of our ability to help them
grow. So, it's that ongoing pastoral concern. Is that person going to grow over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real concern for them.
Yeah. That's right.
What would you say if a group leader or a group thinks that it was really, really easy to do?
Yeah. So, you talk to a group leader about budding and their eyes light up.
Yeah.
Super excited.
Great. Been waiting for this.
Doesn't feel like a sacrifice for them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be, I reckon it could be two different things. One, that could be a massive problem. It could be that a group leader really just wants to offload half their group that they find tricky or whatever it is. That might be that the group has no real connection to each other. Mm. So, they're actually not sacrificing anything when they bud. Mm. And so, that's obviously a problem. But it could also be a fantastic thing. It could be that a group is just ready to go, keen to grow for lots of good reasons.
Mm.
And they're just in a really healthy place.
Yeah.
It could be either.
And some of those, and we'll come to that when it comes to building a good culture of this in your group. Mm. So, it's hard. Why do it? What are some of the convictions, reasons why we would even consider particularly budding perhaps?
Yeah,
why would we bud?
Well, we have this fundamental conviction that God is growing the kingdom of Christ. God, the gospel is going out and we're optimistic that God will continue to add people to his number year after year after year. And so, we want a bud so that we have space for those people to come and join really in really deep ways, join our church here as God continues to do that work. And so, we want to expect growth, plan for growth constantly as the kingdom grows. Yeah.
Now, you could facilitate that expectation of kingdom growth by just creating new groups as people come. New group, 10 people, 10 people. Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you bud instead?
And some churches do that. They, through their membership course or whatever, they grab 10 brand new people together and one of them has a lounge room and they say, you're a new group, go for it. We really want to join new people to us as a church. We think that it's so great to mature in the way that you read the Bible and think about the Christian life, think about God, think about salvation. And so, we want to join new people to us, not just to each other, but become part of the big church family that we're in. So, we constantly want to be making space for them joining us. Also, pragmatically, the best way to train leaders is in existing groups with people that they know a bit, just gradually over time. And so, to parachute a newish leader into 10 brand new people is tricky. There's no history of that group at all. Yeah. But to add 3 new people to a recent bud of 7 with some existing relationships gives a great opportunity for those existing people to love the new people and welcome them in.
Shows the importance of growing leaders in existing groups, hey, because you don't just get 10 new people join church and go, oh, great, there's 2 leaders there. You get 0 leaders.
Yeah.
And you have to actually create leaders to send and to have in those budded groups. Now, those are some really good, positive convictions. God's growing his kingdom. We want to develop leaders. What's the hard thing to hold in that? What's a hard conviction to hold?
Yeah.
To be willing to bud?
It's actually, as Christians, it's good for us to be uncomfortable at different times. It's like if you're trying to get to be a better runner and you're running on the flat all the time and finding it easy and comfortable, well, it's time to hit the hills, time to get uncomfortable for a little bit. It'll be good for your own growth. And so, as Christians, we know that it's better to give than receive. It's great for us to be willing and to find opportunities to give up some of our comfort for other people's sake. And so, it's great for our own Christian growth that we make those kinds of sacrifices.
So comfort is a good thing. We've spoken about how creating a good group is a good thing and it shows you've done a good job, but there are other things going on which might mean that we sacrifice that comfort for the sake of kingdom growth, for the sake of creating new opportunities for leaders.
That's right.
That's really helpful.
Great. So we've talked a bit there about why to bud a group, Todd. Why send people? Why send people from one group to another or to...
Yeah, you know? it comes off the back of that comfort piece. It takes a conviction that while I'm comfortable and have a good situation here in this group, and this could be for the leader or any member, actually seeing the kingdom as wider and the growth of the kingdom and this church... EV Church, and I'm particularly work at EV Night, to see that EV Night groups more largely are the body. It's important, not just what's going on here. And so, why send? We'd want to send to see groups strengthened, existing groups strengthened, to see struggling groups helped to hang in there. And so, you got to build a conviction similarly around those things to say, I'm going to give up this really helpful assistant leader. I'm going to send them to this group that has no leader or whose leader is drowning and to help them because they're a great help. Or I've got this person that's just so warm and has a house where people can meet and I can see that group over there doesn't have that and could really benefit. And so you've got to build a concern for the whole and an ability to see that and be mindful of it.
Yeah.
So, How do you do it? I've been in a buddied group before, and so I'll tell a story. I think Ben's got a story as well. We've got some principles around it, but I remember this. I think it was the second group I was ever in. It was a massive group as I look back on it. 22, I think it was. Wow. And we were meeting in this big house. This couple from morning church had invested at night church and been like, we want to be the parents of EV9. So I joined that group, 22 of us in a giant lounge room. And we actually decided that there's growth happening at the church at EV Night. We want to see more and more people join these groups, and we will run out of space, as much space as we had. But there's a really good opportunity at that house because there was a separate little annex space. And so what we did is we added a few extra new people. We thought really carefully about how could we bud this group, and we kind of went for two halves for the most part. And we met together, kept meeting in the same lounge room, had dinner together, and then we'd actually split off into different sections of the house and say, this guy who was an assistant leader, he's now the leader of this new group. And this person who wasn't a leader in training is now a leader in training, and this person who was a leader in training is now an assistant leader. So all of those kind of chain reactions happened. And we actually ended up with two really healthy groups out of one healthy group. And I think they would have had about 10 members each, and then we're able to have more people even join. As people join church, we got a little bit more capacity in these two groups, whereas we didn't have as much capacity in the one group.
Yeah, great. So that's lots of opportunities for people to join that then.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you worked out what two good groups would look like there. Did you just impose those two lists on your group and say, you're now in group A and you're in group B?
Yeah.
Or was it a more consultative... what did you do?
Yeah, it's a long time ago. I'll try and remember. It's a bit of an iterative process back and forward.
Yeah.
But also one thing that was really good about the group is we had a decent number of people who were able to be assistant leaders, leaders in training. And so we had quite a bit of a leadership team, had a really good grasp of the group. And what we tried to do is just prioritize what the most vulnerable people in the group needed. So this person's a regular, health reasons. This person's really good at getting alongside them, and there's a great relationship there, good prayerful support. Let's make sure that they're in the same group. Lock that one in. Just did that a bunch. You know, what are the existing relationships, and how could this work with the least amount of pain possible? There's always going to be pain. As far as A team, B team, I think we had a really strong leader, and I think he took the B team, if that makes sense. Yep. So this assistant leader under him, who's now leading for the first time, let's make sure that that's the best group that we could make, and we think that that's really going to thrive.
Yep.
And let's give more opportunity in this other group with this really strong leader, really experienced leader, to raise up more leaders. And what happened out of that was I must have been part of the B team because I ended up with him. But it really gave me a chance to step from leader in training to leader. And for a guy that was just joined the group, I think, pretty green, to consider being a leader in training. And we actually budded from that group not long after. And so created a third healthy group out of that.
Yeah. So that group just had that culture of getting ready to make costly changes for the sake of growing and inviting other people in.
Yeah. Yourself, cool. what's been your experience and
I've seen a bunch of groups bud over time, and one of them recently, they went through a really, I think, consultative method of they need to work out, is it actually viable for us to turn into two groups? You know, you can have a real sense of there's a core to this group, and then there are some people who are a bit more fringy.
Yeah.
And is our core big enough that we could become two cores? And that would work. So you've got to do that work first. But they sat down with the group and talked through the reasons for budding. And you know, we've got stacks of new people coming in this sort of kind of group at the moment. And so we want to make more space for them to join. And we could do that if we budded. So you want to, again, win people over to the why bud consideration. But then, lots of back and forward about working out what group would you like to be in, and do you have a bestie that you really want to be with, or could you actually give that up because you'll see each other during the week somewhere else anyway?
Yeah, nice.
But you can give it up because you're both real resources, but we'd love one of you in each group. So you have that sort of back and forward process for a while, which is a tricky one because you don't want to be the person who says, I don't want to go with that person, but where do I voice that? Mm. Or how do I say, if I could be with this person, it would be really helpful. And there are times when it's helpful. If you've popped someone in a group because you think they'll be able to follow up that person really well, it's great to sort of put your hand on their shoulder and say, can you go into it
yeah.
with an eye to following that person up really well? Because we need you to do that. People take on minor informal responsibilities that are really significant in those
times. Takes time and a lot of knowledge of the people in group and back and forth
in here. It's a change management process. I've also seen groups, so you can bud where you have the overstuff method, like you're talking about, where you've got 20 people, you throw a stack more people at them for a term. It's uncomfortable for a little while.
Yep.
There are not enough seats in the lounge room. So you've got to share the sofa. It becomes really expensive to buy supper for everyone for that term, but that's okay. You can do the overstuff, and then in the next term, you spill over into two full groups, basically, two groups of 10 or something. Another option is you can grab a group, and I've seen this done where there's a healthy-sized group in one suburb, but a bunch of them actually live, they travel a bit for it, and if you bud that one full group into two half groups, they'll be sufficiently far away from each other. They're not competing for the same group members. They've got these two new pools that they can reach, and so they actually can fill up to full-size groups pretty
the
quickly.
The West Gosters crew and the Batto crew or something like that. Yeah, right. Opposite right. ends,
And they can say bad things about each other behind their backs. I've seen, one guy who's butted his group several times. And he's always the more experienced leader. And so he always does that, like you were describing before, where when he buds a group, he always takes, he leaves the newer leader with the, I guess, healthier or stronger group. And he takes the more fragile group with him. So because he's got the experience and he feels like he can handle that. And so you're trying to work out, how do you balance out the needs and the abilities of the different groups so that both of them can flourish and do well. So
we see that a lot in EV Nightwell, because it's quite a fast movement of I became a leader and a few years later I have to move on for whatever reason. And so a really helpful model for us is kind of that one, the pop out the top almost. The leader has experience. We've got a guy that's just come to me recently and said, I'm keen to do this again. Throw me in a group that's struggling or someone who's lost a leader or whatever it might be. I'd love to train up some more people. So he, his wife, maybe pick one other group member out of a group of 12 or 13 and we'll go do that, and we'll leave our leader in training, assistant leader, to take over a group that they're very familiar with, that there's good relational connections. They've already got a location that they're meeting. A lot of that is very helpful for, a budding kind of experience.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So that's budding then, Todd. Sending, are there some key ways that you do that well?
And in a sense, that last one's actually probably arguably a bit more of a send, really.
Hybrid bud send.
Yeah, that's right. Sending is really important, particularly at EV Night again, because of the reasons I've already said. That they'll end up being a group whose leader can't lead anymore for whatever reason. There's or there's a bunch of medical interns that have been with us for 3 years and now they're leaving and it empties half the group or something like this. So you end up with little pockets that fluctuate, struggling with numbers, struggling with a certain vibe. We often are looking at really healthy groups and seeing, is there a way that we can approach this leader, approach this member within the group and ask them if they consider being sent? And how to do it well, the battle's mostly won in the language. So you could call it stealing, you could get it all these negative
losing.
Words around losing, you're killing us. Like there's all these attitudes that you could have as a group leader or even as the members to say, this power that be over there decided this thing and they stole our member and took him over there and now life sucks. But I really want and have been thinking about this sending language of a concern for the whole, to see a need and to be willing as a group as a whole, but as members and leaders to actually send someone to help. They don't have a leader. We've got an assistant leader who's ready to go. Let's send them there and let's actually be active in that. Let's thank God for what they've done here and how they've grown here with us. Let's pray about the pain that's going to come with that.
Yep.
But let's actually pray and send them to that purpose. Yep. Could be a really healthy way of doing some sending. So it might be a leader. It might be a leader in training to a group who doesn't have anyone to train in their group. Could just be a member that's good at organizing socials and getting people together.
Yep.
And someone just really needs that over there. So yep. It could look like anything.
And it is costly, isn't it? Because you are tending to send people who've done great things in your group.
You're specifically
picking them because they're great at this and they've done great things in your group, and so you lose that.
Yeah, that group's going to feel the loss. I had have this happen all the time, but we've lost this really good person, so what's the plan to replace them? And I'm like, you're looking at them. Like, look within your... No one's coming. There's no hero with a cape on here.
Yeah.
It is a painful thing, but it gives an opportunity for there to be a bit of a leadership vacuum or a social vacuum or something. We actually more often than not see someone raised up and take on that persona that you otherwise may not have ever seen. So it's a really good opportunity.
So the it's won or lost in the language of sending this. You could get the missionary postcard.
Totally.
Take a photo of them, stick it on your fridge, pray for them.
Think of them. You'll see them around. Yep. You're not saying goodbye forever.
He's gone off to Wamberal.
Send some financial support for them to buy snacks, that kind of thing.
That's right.
So we did say this is for everyone. What if you're not thinking about budding sending? We've spoken about a few things, but what if you're not thinking about that for your group? What's good to consider?
Yeah. It is great. Even if you're not pragmatically thinking about budding or sending anytime soon, I think pastorally you do want to think about how can I be maturing my people so that we are the kind of people who want to make costly decisions for the sake of the kingdom, who are willing to give up our comfort for that. So constantly helping people see that this group exists not just for itself, but as part of the body of Christ more broadly. We want to be people who are looking out for opportunities to serve others. And so those pieces are really valuable. And it means you can also listen out for in your group when people talk about, if someone says, this is my forever group, I'm going to be here forever. Here's what I want played at my funeral, just so you guys know. Being able to say, well, this group, we might need to bud in the future sometime so that other people can join. Keep your people thinking about others beyond this group. We want
other people to have this experience that we've been able to have.
Yeah, that's right. That's helpful. And it might be that then you become one of those groups that when we see a need somewhere, that you're able to say, actually, I've got the best person for that. And if you could send them over there, they would really contribute.
Mm.
So I think by pastoring people towards, we're expecting the growth of the gospel because of God's promises, we love to serve others. It's better to give than receive.
Mm.
We'll even if our groups aren't thinking of budding, we'll help people grow, and that will often lead to budding and sending those sorts of things.
That's good. And so, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, this is created some thoughts in you about your group, and perhaps you have no idea how other groups are going in the network, you can start a conversation up with your CL. Are there any really hurting spots? We're feeling pretty good. This guy's growing up and I've already got an assistant leader, and he could really be well trained if there's someone who needs one. There's all kinds of conversations you could come at to kind of actively pursue this and build a culture of it in your group. So I'd encourage you to do that. Hope it's been helpful. This is Todd and Ben signing off.
See you next time.